Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Clare, and as the opening prayer to the Mass articulated, Clare had a great love for poverty. It's important that we understand, my brothers and sisters, this call in our life to, with a relationship with God, they call them the evangelical counsels, poverty, chastity, and obedience. Okay? They are not three disciplines, but three evangelical, They are connected with the gospel. They have their identity in the gospel. We can often think that in order to be a good Catholic, a good Christian, one chooses poverty, chastity, and obedience as a way of proving their virtue. I'm going to impoverish my life in this way. The chastity as far as like the relationships, I'm going to impoverish my relationships in this way. Obedience, I'm going to impoverish my freedom in this way. And I'm going to, in my virtue, demonstrate how great of a Christian I am. That's wrong. It's terribly wrong. They're evangelical counsels. There you go. That's the word. The evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience, they come into our life. These things come into our life because we have encountered God, because we have encountered the good news, because we have encountered Him. Therefore, this blessing, this which meets us in our deepest longing, our deepest need to know and to be known and to love. And because I have encountered that in the good news, in the gospel, then poverty, I have a freedom with the things in my life. Poverty in and of itself is not a great thing. There's whole organizations that are created to stamp out poverty in the world. Because apart from being met in the fulfillment of all that you're wanting and all that you're desiring and all that you're longing, then you have freedom in the things that you possess. But a person has not been met, there is no freedom in poverty, it's just poverty. It just bites an emptiness. But when we have encountered the Lord, when we are known and know and are loved and love, then we can choose chastity. What is chastity? Chastity is not celibacy. Chastity is ordering who you are relationally with others around you to life, ordering it properly, that it be ordered towards life. I can choose chastity in my life because I've met the one who meets me in my need. And obedience, my brothers and sisters, not obedience out of fear, the sake of obeying the law, but obedience because I've met the one who is good and trustworthy and loving and directs my heart and directs my actions in accordance with his heart, and therefore I can obey. Poverty, chastity, and obedience enter into the life of the religious, and so in ours as well, because we have encountered the one. You see, in the first reading, Moses is like, you people have life. You have land and you possess it because God entered into your life. God acted. He did these things. He entered into your life and brought you from a place of slavery into a place of radical freedom. And now you possess a land and property and vineyards and orchards and houses and things that you did not build, you did not plant, but now they are yours forever because God has entered into your life. So you need to be obedient to what he asks you to do if you want to keep him in your life, because the only reason you have life in this land, life and land, they are connected together. The only reason you have life is because of him. All this to say, in the poverty, chastity, and obedience, the idea of the cross that we, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me, is the invitation for us to order our life, not for the sake of the void. This is not an asceticism. Christianity is not we don't enter into like ripping things from our life into an empty void. No, we encounter that which meets us in our greatest need. And because of that, again, I know who God is, I know who I am, and then all of my actions can be ordered to it. You do that, you're doing the thing. You know who God is, you know who you are from that revelation of God, and you act in accordance with that revelation. There's no laws against any of those things, my brothers and sisters. None. Actually living your life in the fulfillment of the purpose of it all. So, if we wish to cling to these things and the hope that we will squeeze life from them, you want to run around being a vampire and trying to suck the life of everything and everyone around you, be my guest. But you will not live forever. You actually have to give it over to the Lord. Just like this lowly pieces of bread that are placed on the altar, which are dead, I said this the other day, it radically transforms them. So too, everything that you place on the altar of your life and the gift of yourself, he too will radically transform. There is no life apart from him. There is no life apart from him. And he loves you. Amen.